Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
ER 237, this one be.
237.
How are you, Scott?
Not spiking like or peaking like you are.
Sorry, man.
Yeah,
I had
okay.
to do something to liven things up. We just lived through the most boring Super Bowl in history.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like we knew because the Patriots were, and I'm not a football guy, but we knew because the Patriots were in it, it was gonna be kind of crap because you know they're kind of crap. They win all the time.
Yeah.
And I guarantee at least half the team knows exactly how much an NFL referee costs. But yeah, that was, even the ads were boring.
Mm-hmm.
Couple good ones. Gotta say, I love the Microsoft Adaptive Controller ad.
Yep.
The
Game of Thrones Bud Light.
The Game of Thrones Bud Light. So they couldn't show a medical cannabis ad, but they showed the resurrected mountain crushing the head of a knight. That was fine. That was fine.
And a dragon flaming an entire...
Yeah. Lots of weird Pepsi ads.
Yeah.
I mean, most of this stuff like is out 2 weeks before this thing anyway. Because
and
they've
AI is the devil.
Yeah, AI is the... Oh, so many robot ads.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway. So, yeah. How's everything else going?
I think it's going okay.
Looks like you did a little run yesterday, maybe, or a walk?
I didn't. Oh. Jen and Tom did, and Jen didn't want the shirt, so she got me the shirt.
Oh, no. Well, it's a very nice shirt.
I know. It was a very expensive shirt to pay to walk
right.
through. The viaduct is now closed. The tunnel is now open as of tomorrow, mm-hmm. so they had an 8K viaduct tunnel walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have done it. It's just that I would have had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning after doing a show, walk 8K, and then do another show. And it was hard enough just to
pass,
not do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And do all the things I had to do. So
yeah,
yeah.
This you didn't skip it because of laziness. Let's put
no,
it that way.
Yeah. No.
You, speaking of shows, you concluded your run of Red.
Yes.
To very positive reaction, as far as I understand.
Yes. Everyone that saw it, most of the feedback was from writers who had issues with certain things John Logan had done.
Okay.
I don't know that I necessarily agree with the specific criticisms, but... It wasn't about anything else, so...
As long as it's not about your performance.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to be critical of a writer, but to also recognize the abilities, passions, and whatnot of the people putting on the play. So,
yeah,
like, in that sense, it's fair to be critical, but when you're doing a review of a performance, you should probably review the performance.
Right. And we actually did get one review. I think it's either on my actor page or my regular Facebook page. But there was a nice review. Again, they did not call out the director, which is absolute shit. But they said nice things about me. Yeah. But
love you, Bo.
He did. The reviewer was a woman writing for... I think a writer's group in Seattle or blog or something like that. Not the typical theater type review I would have thought about.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. So it was nice. She actually mentioned Alan, who played Ken, as he played Ken and then talked about the character of Ken. At least when she talked about Rothko, she talked kind of sort of about the acting. It was a nice review nonetheless, and that's great. Most of the feedback we got from people was very positive. In fact, three of the Dorkness crew came to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was supposed to be coming on that night. But we won't go into it. Andy and I know what happened, and the person responsible should know what happened. But anyway,
The person responsible, show up on time to your friend's house.
Right. Cause
I don't blame anybody really, but,
I do.
Multiple legs of Google Maps should tell you the overall time it takes to get from point A to point C if you've got an ABC.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. It just displays how long the last leg takes. And that's bad. That's on Google.
Yeah.
I was ready too. I was totally ready. I even had all my shit together. I had my jacket because I thought it was going to happen. And
then it didn't. No. But Brian and Nathan came. Tim Martin and his lovely Tim wife, Martin? Cheryl, happened to be over this weekend to do a end of January. She's an accountant at least a money billing person, where January is all hands on deck trying to get things done. So they needed to get out of Dodge for a weekend. So
Right. They
came over and we worked it out. And I went and picked them up on my way in. I spent 2 hours in a car.
Oh, geez.
I spent 1 hour going about 100 yards.
This was from downtown.
Mercer.
God damn it. I'm sorry, dude.
But I had to get rerouted around and through. And I mean, all I really needed to do was pick the car up, turn it around, and go back the other direction.
But you couldn't
do that.
Yeah. Mercer fucking sucks. The Mercer on-ramp is a fuck.
It's not even the on-ramp. It's everything else around.
Yeah.
There that's just awful. Once we got onto Mercer, bink, done.
Yeah.
But trying to get there was a clusterfuck of epic proportions. So
indeed.
I got there late and was rushing around. Carol Roscoe came last night, which was nice, and brought a friend. And Bill and his wife came, who is the artistic director at Renton Civic, and our board president and her husband came. So Jen came to 50% of the performances, came with her mom,
nice.
Came with my dad, and came by herself last night. So it was a really good show, finished really well. It really sucks to have put in all that time and work and effort and energy for six performances. But we're trying to shop around and see if we can't get another theater to pick it up in another season.
Yeah, so that would be great.
It'll be a different show, but you know, and that's the nature of the beast.
Indeed.
But hopefully Alan and I will be able to do it again. And
are the rights pretty expensive?
It's a typical show. It's like $75 a night.
Okay.
But then you also have to pay $75 for the rights to the artwork.
Oh.
And the artwork has to be destroyed 15 days within the close of the play.
Oh, shit.
And you can't look at it from straight on, and nothing can be fully visible. And there's a lot of limitations to that thing because it's so much about the play in Rothko. So,
right.
But overall, very, very good experience. I'm just mentally and physically exhausted. I've just put so much time and everything into this, and Jen's been very patient the last few weeks, where I've just kind of checked out and done the bare minimum to get by.
Your processing was devoted elsewhere.
Yes. But did start going back to the gym, got a new workout routine.
Nice.
And yep, it's 2 days after you start. The muscle group hurts. And of course, I did leg shit on Wednesday. So Friday's performance, I could barely move. Got through it. But yeah, it was, once again, not going to start new workouts when I'm doing a show.
Good call.
But yeah, I think overall things are looking up. And in 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks, barely 2 weeks, we'll be going to Hawaii. To celebrate Mr. Brophy's 50th.
Nice. Mahalo.
So we'll be with him for I think 4 days, and then because the ticket was ridiculously cheaper if we stayed another couple days, mm-hmm. we got inexpensive Airbnb and
nice.
Just kind of go hang out around Kauai.
Cool. I've never been to Hawaii, so I've really never been outside of Canada. I've never been outside of the... Well, I've been to Mexico before, but very, like Mexico. Like,
yeah.
Not Chichen Itza or the Yucatan or anything. I like... Boop.
Tijuana.
Not even Tijuana. It was further down Texas, and it was when I was very, very young.
Yeah, I...
Maybe it was Tijuana.
Was it outside El Paso? No, Tijuana would be California. Was it outside El Paso?
Probably.
So you went Juarez? To Juarez?
Yeah, oh my probably. God. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I was like, I just know we were in Texas and we went to Mexico for like a day trip.
Yeah, but and you went when it was still okay, because nowadays heads get bowled down the bridge. No one goes into Juarez anymore.
Well, I was I was babby. Yeah. So I don't know. Well, I wouldn't put it against. I wouldn't put it. Out of the realm of possibility that was still fucking dangerous then, my mother was an idiot. Okay? The things my mother did. She took me to Orca when I was one. Okay? So I still have problems with deep water and sea life.
Mm-hmm.
Bugs me. She took me to my brother's fucking trial when he was on trial for knocking over a 7-Eleven. He was 19. So I would have been two or three. And I remember she like clipped out a thing from the paper because she thought it was cute about me crying in the courtroom. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah.
I would fucking, for all I know, she was a drug mule and just brought me along to get across the border.
How was your week?
Week, apart from work... we did start the process of looking for a potential new house. We're looking over in Port Orchard because the cost per square foot is just unbeatable. And our house is fairly well valued. So that's good. I went to a Doc in the Box yesterday because I've had an ear problem for like a week and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out I have sinusitis.
Yes.
So it's inflammation of the mucous membranes in the nose and sinus. So I'm on a steroidal spray that she says won't help for like 2 weeks. But in 2 weeks, it should be cleared up. I have a little bit of fluid behind my eardrum. So that's probably what the problem is. Other than that, nothing of interest. We have a temporary roommate who came up to get a job from Boise, Idaho, and we're helping him out. So that's about it on that front. That's been, you know, it's disruptive to bring someone into a house, especially a house as small as ours.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I got to see snow today. That made me pretty happy. I do love snow. I love it.
Hopefully we don't see too much sticking tonight. I don't care if it falls. I just don't want it on the roads right now.
Right. Not even for our benefit, because other people are so hard to deal with in the snow in Seattle. They just, the roads are terrible because there is no infrastructure for icy roads. And a lot of people in Washington are transplants from warmer climates. So when you get snow that sticks on the road, it is a fucking game ending scenario.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah. Apart from that, Aaron started playing Kingdom Hearts. I feel like James Peters might be interested in hearing a little bit about that, but there's not much to tell aside from it is a narrative clusterfuck of a game. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. It's like, so Goofy and Donald will be sitting there. It's like, well, gee, Sora, you've got to find the light inside your heart. And only then can the darkness be returned. And it's just slow, plodding, stupid, badly written dialogue. But it's pretty. Very, very pretty. So that was my week. I don't like sickness being my defining factor, but yeah, that's what it is. So We are running pretty late tonight, so we should probably just go ahead and jump into some questions and answers. How do you feel about that?
I think that would be good.
Great.
Wonderful.
All right, we'll start off. Last week, that's actually the incorrect question, I think. Last week we asked, what technology do you feel has the most potential to do harm, I believe? Something along those lines. We're looking it up real quick. Society into a non-recoverable... Yeah, so which technology do you feel has the potential to put society into a non-recoverable state? So our answers for that, we'll start out with Rob McLennan, who says, off the top of my head, I can think of two that have the possibility of ending us. One is a fully mechanized society in which humans have nothing to do. Remove our reason to be and we will cease to be. I have a very strong disagreement with that, but we can get into that in a second. Two is editing the human genome. Also have a strong disagreement with that. By definition, we change our code, we are no longer human, plus bad things would happen. My disagreements are fully automated society. If you can get capitalism or capitalistic predatory nature out of the picture, mechanized society is actually fucking great. So much of our society is already mechanized. And you know, we've become more and more used to it. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, you know, there aren't human hands pounding themselves until they're arthritic clubs in factories in the U.S. anyway, anymore, because we have machines that do it more efficiently, faster, cheaper. And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
Mechanizing isn't a bad thing, provided that the alternative is artistic or some type of creative endeavor, and that we have those sort of places to allow people to expand into after automation and mechanization start. As far as editing the human genome, I am potentially very much in the minority on this. However, having so many friends who have either fallen ill with or passed because of cancer, having a desire for longevity myself and wanting to see what happens next,
mm-hmm.
editing the human genome to me is possibly the only humanity-saving technology that I can see in the near future in terms of literally making the world a better place for everybody. Yeah. Again, you got to keep money out of it, and that's really hard to do. So ultimately, I agree with both of your statements in the context of laissez-faire capitalism as it is currently
practiced,
thank you, but in a sort of truly democratic society, I think those. And sorry, folks, you've just heard a hiccup. We've been talking for 20 minutes and Adobe failed to record. So, Rob, we finished that thought out, and unfortunately, I think you get the gist of where I was going with that. We've already answered a bunch of questions, but we'll go ahead and quickly sum them up again, because, yeah, Adobe just stopped recording. And fucking goddamn it.
Yeah. So now I have a smaller window. We'll notice that it's
So
not moving.
Matthew Hunt. Oh, this is yours to read, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Matthew Hunt says, biowarfare. He has two. Biowarfare and nukes. Biowarfare. Eventually, someone's going to screw up somewhere, and we're going to wind up with medication-resistant Ebola or rabies or chronic fatigue influenza, and we're done. And on nukes, says, I feel the day someone somewhere is going to push the button and is getting closer. Not to the same level of fear that was through the 50s to the 80s, but the scale and the will to do so, I feel, is more present today. Mm-hmm. Someone is going to make a call, have it countered, and then the bluff will no longer matter. And 6 months later, Australia and New Zealand will be overrun by people trying to escape the fallout for another few months before it gets around the planet.
Yeah, and my response to that was, we've got a narcissist in office right now who is nearing the end of his life, and who doesn't want the world to go on without him, making it very scary. He's a giant fat-headed orange idiot, I think was the gist of what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Piece of shit. So it is a very, very real possibility. We also just pulled out of the INF. Fuck you, you piece of crap.
Yep.
Rival guy. I almost called him Rob Volguy. Says, that's pretty easy. Coal. It should have been replaced by nuclear over the 50s and 60s, but we are still stupidly burning rocks. Totally agree.
Yep.
Farming, certain meat farming and things like that are just as bad, if not worse, than coal right now. But coal is definitely something that we could address immediately. Anybody who holds on to coal is doing so on a purely emotional level because they are unaware that there are alternatives for income that they could get in mm-hmm. a post-coal society. And also nuclear, we are stuck with designs from the 50s. I don't know why there. I know that there's a reason, but I'm not 100% sure what it is. So we'll look that up maybe and talk about it more later. Again, you got a huge rant about this, but I can't replicate it. So for next week, the question we'd like to ask you, because we just had a major letdown today with our subparest of subpar bowls and the ads and everything. What is the biggest letdown you've had for a major event? Maybe it's going to Disneyland and finding out the kingdom isn't all that magical. Maybe it's, you went to your favorite school, like you got accepted in your favorite school and you went there and you found out it was a pile of crap. I don't know. But what is your biggest letdown? Let us know and we'll talk about that. All right, moving on because it's getting very late. God damn it, Adobe. We're going to get to questions. Matthew, I apologize. One of yours is going to have to be truncated and we'll talk about that when we get to it. But we'll start off with James. James Peters asks, have you ever tried an Escape the Room or similar events? And how was it? No.
I have not. I think Jen did one mm-hmm. with her boys in Vegas 2 or 3 years ago when they were still not total dicks.
Yeah. My guess is most Escape the Rooms run on a very similar set of rules. So I would assume that certain people are more adept at getting out of them. Like, oh, yeah, there's always a something here and there's always a something here. I know my daughter did one and she's got very small hands. So they had to solve one of the three lock problems for the drawer to open enough for her to get her hand in it. So they basically solved the room in like 10 minutes.
Mm.
It was an hour long thing and they solved it in 10 minutes because she was just tiny. You want to read Matt's?
Yeah.
Cool.
Matthew Hunt says, what's your top 10 bucket list items and what's your favorite memory from the 1990s? This is what we're going to truncate, I believe.
Let's just do three. So for me, it's travel, produce a widely recognized film in some capacity, either mm-hmm. film it or be in it or something along those lines. And three would be to work with a voice acting idol directly.
Mm. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Scuba diving with whale sharks.
Oh.
Which then leads to a whole bunch of other awesome things with the scuba diving. So if I get to that point, then the other stuff will be covered. I think also having something to do with a recognizable film, mm-hmm. whether that's on screen or two bards producing it or whatever.
But yeah.
Having that. And I think just being able to act and have some form of income other than the pittance
mm-hmm.
that I have today.
Right. That's a good call. Favorite memory in the 90s. I don't idolize in the 90s the way most people my age do. It was a terrible time for me personally. I hated high school. I do not have any false memories of high school that make it seem like it was better. It was a terrible time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I was beat up or anything. I just did not enjoy the time. So I would say my favorite memory of the 90s would probably be the anticipation of like new music or new movies. We don't have that anymore as much. Like shit's just immediately released. It's easy to get, you know, you don't have that anticipation piece.
Mm-hmm.
I would say gaming in the 90s, but I can do that today and it still feels cool today. Like none of that stuff has lost its luster. I'd say like Nintendo NES, that's lost its luster a little bit, but the 16-bit stuff still looks good. Mm-hmm. Like that was kind of the time when it was like, these games will last. They'll hold up.
Yeah.
You know, and then it hit PlayStation 1 and they kind of fell out of favor again. Like those don't hold up. Anybody who's bought the PlayStation Classic knows that. And then as soon as that got over, like in the Dreamcast, GameCube, GameCube might have been a little later than that, but PS2, that kind of Xbox, those games are still fun and look good and are playable. So there was just like a little dip there, and I didn't care for the stuff from the 80s and 70s as much in terms of like replayability. So games aren't really it, but that anticipation, that I have not been able to recapture, because we don't live in a world of anticipation anymore.
Yeah.
We can just go get it.
Yeah.
So.
I think mine would have to be, I started my first show in college was in 89. So I would say my discovery of acting in the early 90s, Nirvana, Pearl Jam. And then if I'm going just on sheer absolute singular memory, would be late 90s in 99. I rode my first Harley Davidson ever, to the top of Mount Haleakala on Maui.
Oh, nice.
And did the Sunrise Adventure and rode to 10,000 feet dressed for Hawaii. It was cold.
I bet.
It was very, very cold.
Cool. Dougie Sharp writes, where did you get your Carolina Reaper dust? I've only found Ghost Pepper and Scorpion Pepper dust on Amazon. On Amazon is where I got it. Search for volcano dust. So Carolina Reaper volcano dust. It's very small. It's pretty expensive. You don't need a lot. It lasts forever. It's hot. It is hot.
Alrighty. Rob McLennan asks, is there a social convention, the breach of which just sets you off?
Cutting. Your place in line should be the order at which you are serviced.
Oh, I thought you meant...
Oh, no. I on the road, in actual lines, to me, it's like you get there at a decent time to get your place, and people who ignore that or think they're more important, or, you know, Becky with the good hair comes up and she's like, I just need to get in because it's my favorite, and I look at me, I'm sad. Fuck you. Wait like everyone else.
Yeah.
And everyone should wait. Rich people, poor people. Queues are democratic.
Yes.
They are a direct result of your gumption, your motivation to get there on time. So I don't care for cutting.
I don't know if it's a social convention. I'm just going to say personal hygiene.
Good call. Also, in line. Now, Scott and I probably have a different outlook on this one than you guys in general. Some of you know. Some of you are, well, and I mean, you know, James Peters is stuck in the middle of a city right now, I think, with a population density that's like, what, third highest in the world?
Something like that, yeah.
I think it's like Hong Kong, Dubai, Tokyo. He might not be in Tokyo now. He posted a picture of a Tengu. He might be like up in the hills in Kyoto or something. Anyway. But yeah, personal hygiene. I've run a game store. We go to cons. So this is kind of becoming less and less frequent, but it's like people who light up outside of a door, like right outside of a door. Fuck you. Though I'd almost put that in personal hygiene. I'd almost put smoking in an disrespectful place. Almost is the same as hygiene. But yeah, just fucking put on deodorant, man. It's cheap. It's $3.
Yeah.
We'll buy you some if you need. Just let us know.
Yep. Rob also... I asked that one.
Yeah. Rob also asks, any thoughts on Good Omens yet, or have you not had a chance to watch the trailer? I'm not watching the trailer. I'm going to watch Good Omens. I love Good Omens. It is my favorite book. I have the BBC radio play with Peter Serafinowicz. And I think Ian Holm is in that one. Lots of great people. Good Omens is fantastic. This one's going to have David Tennant. It's going to be good. I think David Tennant's playing Crowley. Crowley is basically the snake in the Garden of Eden. And then he's got a friend who is an angel. It's fucking amazing. The whole fucking show. It's just, I'm not going to say anything more. go watch Good Omens, go read it, go do everything. But I'm very excited for it. I just don't want to see the trailer.
Netflix, Prime?
It's going to be movie? On Amazon. It's going to be on Amazon. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I have not seen the trailer yet. And as with most things, I try to avoid most of the trailers that I can. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind seeing teaser trailers to get me excited. Mm-hmm. But when it's like the big ones, I just want to see a thing. Mm-hmm. And with the last question of the day, Matthew Hunt says, what is the laziest meal you've ever prepared?
I don't even know how to answer that.
I do.
I've eaten a raw potato before. Like, does that count? Or does it have to have some form of preparation? I cut the eyes out. That's preparation, right? Like, I'll let's go with the laziest meal I've prepared repeatedly. That seems like a cheesy ramen. It's literally you cook spicy ramen and you throw a slice of American cheese on top. And it's fucking good. It's so good.
I will go with what I have been making a lot of times getting home from rehearsals of the show, which is I grab a thing of deli meat. Mm-hmm. Like the, I can't think of the brands now, but not like the Safeway counter slice deli meat, mm-hmm. the stuff that's in a package.
Right. Budding or something. Budding or whatever.
Yeah. Open that up, get a brick of cheese, make some nice rectangular, like
wrap
string cheese,
yeah.
and then wrap meat around it and eat it.
Damn straight. You can buy them in a package. That's the thing is I figured we'd skip over package prepare.
I nuked a lean cuisine. I mean, that's preparing a meal.
Yeah.
That's pretty lazy, but.
Indeed. All right. Yeah. Well, I think we're going to cut this one short. It's getting really late. And like we said, unfortunately, we did lose a shit ton of talking.
Yeah. It was like 15 good minutes. And
it was 20. It had to have been 20.
It's starting to get janky right now.
And it's starting to get janky. So we're going to cut this short quick. So without further ado, huge thank you to our Patreon patrons, Hawk Robinson,
James Peters,
Leslie Sedlak,
Rob McLennan,
Stuart Hume,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
Gordon D. Duke,
Dennis Nickel,
Jay Blanken,
Casey Lee,
Dougie Sharp,
Seth M. Davis,
Todd McKimmy,
Lotta Jerf,
Tom Brophy,
Laura Adams,
James Herbert,
Bo Pritchard,
Tim Martin,
Brad Roberts,
Jennifer Reifenberry,
and Rival Guy.
Rival Guy! Thank you
very
much.
Who also came out to see the show.
Yeah. Lots of people came to see the show.
Yeah.
A good show.
It was.
I wouldn't know. My seat was taken by a bald man.